Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Robin Lundberg Show.
You want a little insight into my personality? My existence is really a constant battle between extreme confidence and deep-set insecurity.
Hey, thanks for letting me in. Got a good show going, man.
I'm here and ready to strike.
Robin, I gotta tell you, I've only been listening for about a month now, but I do love the show.
I'm gonna make sure I get all of your guys' opinions in before we get out of here, because you're as big a part. Well, actually, let me tell you, that was today. You're a big part of the show. I was going to say you're as big a part of the show as I am. I'll give you 40%. 60% me, 40% you. But it wouldn't exist without you.
The Robin Lundberg Show is on the air.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. And, you know, I guess I pushed the right button talking about Tony Romo today. I wonder how many other people are going to use that in their rundown, you know, because there is some other news. Obviously, like I said, the beginning of the show was dominated by James Harden versus Giannis Antetokounmpo. You got the situation with Tom Brady and the situation with Dak Prescott, and I'm going to get to both of those coming up in about 15 minutes. But whether or not a broadcaster is worth what Tony Romo is getting paid and what people think of Tony Romo is a hot topic. That's for sure. That is for sure. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Anthony, when you were putting together the rundown, would you have thought that Tony Romo would be this kind of generator of content?
No, that's why I put it farther down on the list compared to some of the other topics. But look,
I have pretty good instincts. I almost led with it. I was gonna lead with it, but then the Giannis Harden thing was a great topic too. A lot of people care, but so a couple of, I'd say, with two genuinely, you know, excellent topics here on this Saturday morning, and we'll sprinkle in the other mediocre to above average topics as we go along. Let's go to Edwin in Dallas. Edwin, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, how's it going? Good to be on your show here. I never put a lot of emphasis on a sports announcer. I had my favorites back in the day. Howard Cosell, John Madden, you know, and nowadays Troy Aikman, you know. But, you know, now that you guys put an emphasis on it, you know, it made me think of those great announcers, and Tony Romo was a great announcer. I remember some of his interviews, you know, and he'd get after a loss, you know, he would, you know, they'd interview him. He's always calm. He's always the same. Professionality type of person. I remember one game he said, you know, they asked him some input, you know, what he thought about the game. He said, hey, it's just a game. When I heard that, I was like, are you serious? You know, because I love the game of football. And for a quarterback to take that approach was quite different. And I noticed about Romo, he's so knowledgeable. And for that last guy to make that crack about, you know, his who he would rather have out there, you know, really can't compare Romo with Troy Aikman and Sims right now because of the experience. But we're looking at a whale arising, you know. He could be even greater than those guys I just called out. So, and 17 mil is changing the game. That's a game changer right there. So,
oh, no doubt. I mean, he's just elevated the standard, right? You know, there's now a new level that you have to get to, because before it was $8 million John Madden, $8 million. Romo, you know, done doubled it. It's a whole new world. That's not how it goes. It's different. Now everybody's got to recognize the standard that Romo has set. The bar has been raised. Cliff in St. Augustine, Florida. Cliff, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Robin.
How are you, man?
Good, man. I'm wondering if we're looking at this from the wrong perspective. You're talking to a bunch of diehard sports fans who would watch anything, no matter who was speaking. But you said something that kind of made sense to me, or didn't make sense to me, I should say. You said you would actually mute the radio or mute the TV and watch the game anyway. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a whole bunch of people out there that wouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people that, if you think of it as a funnel, they're trying to make the funnel bigger so more people will fall into it and watch sports. And when you got somebody like Romo that's got an engaging personality, a sense of humor, and he's a celebrity, you know, I mean, that's the kind of people that you want to bring the game to more people.
You know, it's a good point. I mean, maybe they're, you know, let's say the casual football fan who's watching because their significant other is watching, or because it's the playoffs or the, you know, whatever, and they go, I like this guy, who's that? Like, what's exactly that worth? I don't know what that's worth, but it's got to be worth something. So I understand your point, and it's a good one. Don in California, Don, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Good morning. I'm listening to you on out in Palm Springs area on 1010. Good morning. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. How much is Aikman making?
I don't know, but it's a lot less than Tony Romo. Let me see if I can find out.
Just curious, because they're both contemporaries, so I would imagine Aikman's next contract might be a little larger than the one he has now.
Sure, but I don't think he's going to get anything worth or even close to what Romo's getting. He would have to. So apparently, I mean, it might be worth some leverage. Apparently, he's getting $7.5 million per year, Aikman is.
Oh, boy.
So about
he's going to go in.
$10 million less than Romo.
He's going to go in and renegotiate.
Yeah.
Anyway, out here in California.
He's still pretty damn good. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah. I can handle that. Out here in Southern California, the Dodgers have their own TV station. And during the off season, obviously it's slow time, so they put on older games, not that older, and they put on Vin Scully games. And I'm telling you, we put on Dodger replays just to listen to Vin Scully all the time. So, yes, it matters. Vin Scully was a brand, and I think that's what their CBS wants to do with Romo. Love the show on the weekends, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Vin Scully is probably – the answer for play-by-play guys, right? Like, he's the most beloved play-by-play guy of all time, I would guess. Vince Scully's probably the most beloved play-by-play guy of all time. Tony Romo's probably already, along with Madden, but it might just be Tony Romo, the most beloved color commentator of all time. And I would say Charles Barkley is probably the most beloved, you know, studio opinionist or analyst or whatever you want to call his role of all time. I think that's probably the top of the top there. Let's go to Chris in Birmingham, Alabama. Chris, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Chris?
How you doing, Robin?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I see you must have appealed to the better half of the good old state of Texas fan base with this one.
It goes way beyond Texas, Chris. I mean, look, these guys are calling in from everywhere. I mean, I think Romo was ridiculed during his playing days. It seems like he's beloved post-playing.
I honestly can't believe it. I'm one of the ones still going against the grain. Like, seriously, let's just address what Tony Romo like did again in his playing days. Two playoff wins, I think, and how many four divisional titles, and one in like half of which were like what 8-8 seasons. So you won it by default.
What does that have to do with the broadcasting, though?
I mean, I'm not knocking. He's a good analyst, I guess, but I mean, it kind of seems like a popular vote thing, I guess. But I want to go like play by play analyst. There's also, like you said, in WWE, they had Jim Ross, and right now Morrow, and even I tuned into College Game Day because like what Lee Corso, he's a little American dream, if you ask me. And I watched First Take because of Stephen A. Smith. I mean, come on.
Look, in my line of work, more or less what my line of work is, you know, some degree of my line of work, Stephen A. is the guy. There's no question. Whatever you think about Stephen A., this is not some of this stuff is, you know, not up for debate, right? Like, sort of ironic considering what he does. But some of it's not up for debate. It's not about whether or not he's your favorite or you like him the most or you think he doesn't know about certain things or he's too loud or whatnot. Just impact. Stephen A. is the only, I would say, legitimate star in that field. He's the only guy on ESPN who'd probably get parodied on Saturday Night Live, right? Ken in Baltimore. Ken, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Ken?
Hey, Rob, good morning. How you doing?
Morning. What's up, dude?
Yeah, it was about four callers ago and the last caller, but really four callers ago. I'm on with him. Tony Romo has a gimmick. The gimmick is called popularity.
That's a good gimmick to have.
That's a great gimmick to have. Number one, when I listen to Tony Romo, he gets too excited. He gets too ramped up. Okay, he shows too much emotion. Number two, when I listen to him analyze something that should happen or should not happen, well, Tony, those are things that should have been in your mind when I watched you quarterback. Number three, you're only taking, like Phil Simms, he's a two-time champion. Troy Aikman's a, you know, three-time champion. You can't be $10 million more than these boys with their experience, it's nothing that you can say.
But it's a different job, is it not? I mean, like, if that were the case, every great player would be a great announcer.
Well, it's a different job. It seems like I get tired of all the guys that weren't that super great in the sport. They become the great announcers. But you got two guys, Phil Simms. I'm just using them, Phil Simms and Tony and Troy. They know the game, and they won the game. It's just the fact that CBS might be tired of Phil Simms or something like that. So Tony Romo has a good gimmick. It's called popularity.
Well, I mean, that's the name of the game, though, Ken. I mean, popularity is the entertainment business.
But it doesn't make him $10 million more with words, using words, than Troy Aikman.
Well, in fact, popularity would make him that. I mean, that's the case. The case is popularity.
Popularity? Okay.
The rest of it is subjective. The rest of it's subjective. I feel like a couple of you are using his playing career against him. I don't really think that's valid. You know, there's been plenty of mediocre. I mean, Tony Romo's better than the average player turned announcer when you look at his player career. But popularity is the name of the game. I mean, that's the whole thing. That's the entire ball game. The rest of it's subjective how good they are. Jeff in Buffalo. Jeff, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing? In Buffalo, I mean, when we do get a good commentator and just say it's Tony Romo, maybe for the I'm not sure. I believe he was on for the Thanksgiving game against Dallas. And my issue with that is he would prop up Dallas even though they were failing. And then when the Bills did well, he might give us a few props, but he was mainly talking about how Dallas wasn't doing well. So I have an issue. I mean, if you follow Bill's Mafia and you follow any of those pages, most people don't like him when it comes to how he treats teams that don't seem to have an advantage. So
you're talking about Romo?
Yes, Romo.
I think you're wrong, watch, dude. I think this is a Bills issue. This is something to do with your Billsness.
No. I hear you.
Whatever that is.
But I watch other games. And when he's doing it, like if it's Green Bay versus maybe Cleveland or whoever it is,
yeah,
he'll prop up Green Bay because Rodgers should be doing better. So he'll give Rodgers that credit that they're not doing. You know, he's good enough. He should be able to do this. But he won't give the other team the credit when they're doing well. He'll give that other team, you know, like Green Bay, the benefit of the doubt.
I haven't heard that from anybody, really. I'm just being honest. I haven't heard that from that. Almost feels like a Bills like inferiority complex, or to a sense where the Bills aren't getting the kind of coverage that you think the Bills should get, and therefore you're applying that across the board, because I have not seen that. All right, we can get back to this in a bit at 855-212-4227, because Tony Romo is getting that cream. But also, somebody trying to get it is Dak Prescott, and another is Tom Brady. What's the more interesting offseason quarterback story? What's going on with Dak in Dallas, or what's going on with Tom Brady and New England? We'll get to those coming up next. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show. You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show. Retweet and follow Robin Lundberg. His Twitter handle is easy to remember, at Robin Lundberg.
And I'm joined now by Austin Gale of Pro Football Focus. And Austin, but before we get to the real football issues, do you guys have any stats to quantify broadcasting? Because Tony Romo's getting all this money. I've had a lot of callers on it today. Is there anything that breaks down, you know, whether or not he's worth $17 million a year?
I don't have any stats yet, but I did talk to Chris Collinsworth a ton. I also talked to Brady Quinn recently. Both guys who have broadcasted a handful of games said he's definitely up there with the best right now. I think it's definitely money well deserved.
Now, transitioning from one former Cowboys quarterback to another, Dak Prescott remains a storyline because Jerry Jones and he are in a bit of a negotiation. There's been rumors about the franchise tag. But we went through this last year with Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys, and you know, even though there's an argument to be made that Zeke is higher in the running back hierarchy than Dak is in the quarterback one, I still would place, you know, Dak on either the bottom end of tier one or probably the top end of tier two of quarterbacks is where I would put him. Where do you think he fits in as far as, you know, where a contract should be and really just his value as a QB overall?
Yeah, I think if Dallas does want to keep Dak Prescott, they're going to probably have to make him the highest paid quarterback in football, if not close to it, because that's just how these contracts work now. And honestly, I'm on the side of them doing it. I think he is on I would agree he's on the back end of Tier 1, if not the top of Tier 2. And what you saw in Kellen Moore's system with Amari Cooper, with that offensive line, was very, very good football. I think the problems were mostly on that defensive side of the ball, maybe some play calling, how they treated the run game. I think they tried to get too much out of that Ezekiel Elliott contract. I think they could have leaned on Dak Prescott more from a passing sense. But I really do think Dak is worth the money, especially if you can also retain Amari Cooper. I think he is a difference maker. Amari Cooper makes Dak Prescott better. That's not a crazy thing to say. I think getting Dak and Amari back in Dallas should be a priority for Jerry Jones.
Robin Lundberg talking to Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus analyst here on CBS Sports Radio. I think that's going to happen as well, and I agree. It's just the nature of the business that those contracts wind up being big ones. The other QB who's the story of the offseason, of course, is Tom Brady. And now the latest reports have it that he's out of New England, that could be negotiating. I want to ask you more, though, where he is right now, because we've seen him with the Patriots his entire career, and we know he can still run that system. But how good in a vacuum do you think Tom Brady, not anything about his career, but right now, how good in a vacuum do you think Tom Brady is?
Yeah, I mean, some don't see that he is on the decline. I maybe would agree with that, but I do think he's still in that tier one of quarterbacks in the NFL. He still delivers the football accurately, goes through his progressions quickly, does all the things you need to do to be a good starting quarterback in the NFL. And I've talked about it all week at the Combine here in Indianapolis. Where will Tom Brady go? Where does he fit? And I keep finding myself saying he should stay put in New England. There isn't a team like the Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning that was maybe a quarterback away from the Super Bowl right now. There aren't a lot of teams like that. Maybe San Francisco. I know that's a bit of a hot take because they just went to the Super Bowl, but I do think Tom Brady's best landing spot is New England. Like the Raiders, their roster's in shambles. Indianapolis isn't close from a skill position standpoint. Chicago's still very much committed to Mitchell Trubisky. I just don't see Tom Brady going somewhere else and having more success than he would in New England.
Well, and the Patriots weren't that far away, right? I mean, we talk about it like it all went up in flames where they were 12-4, and we're not used to them losing their first playoff game. But I would tend to agree. I mean, it is not. It'd be one thing if they did have you just referenced him, but Garoppolo waiting in the wings. It seems like for both parties, there isn't an option that makes more sense than to run it back.
No, and I would agree with you. I think everyone likes the idea of talking about Tom Brady in a different jersey. It definitely makes for great media, and you saw that. The New England Patriots want Tom Brady back. Is Tom Brady exploring new options? Sure, but if the Patriots can add some skill positions in free agency, target skill positions in the draft, I think that offense gets better. That's where the problem is. The offensive line took a bit of a step back, but I think they get healthier next year. You could add some speed, add some dynamism, some athleticism to that receiving core, maybe get yourself a tight end. I think the Patriots' offense is a lot better. This was no doubt the worst supporting cast Tom Brady has worked with on the opposite side of the ball in his career. I think make that better. He comes back to New England. I think they run this thing back.
You know, you mentioned the combine. The NFL draft is approaching, and it seems to be trending toward being very quarterback heavy at the top, with the one caveat being Chase Young. He says he's the best player in the draft. Where do you quantify his relative value, considering he's not a quarterback?
Yeah, it's not close. I mean, the quarterback position is just so much more important. I mean, I don't think that's crazy to say. I think positional value, edge defender's still up there. It's not like interior offensive line or off a linebacker, but it's nowhere near quarterback. That's why we have had the Cincinnati Bengals taking Joe Burrow dating back all the way to end season for the college football season, because that quarterback position matters so much more. And I also do think that the Washington Redskins, if they're not 100% on Dwayne Haskins, and ESPN has picked this up recently too, with Mel Kiper kind of leading the way, they should consider Tua Tagovailoa over Chase Young. I don't think it's a crazy conversation. Chase Young is fantastic, but again, single defensive players do not move the needle like a good quarterback does. And Tua Tagovailoa is the only quarterback in this class with back-to-back seasons of 90.0-plus PFF passing grades. This guy is a very talented kid.
Do you like him over Burrow if he's healthy?
If he's healthy, if the injury did not occur, possibly. I do think there's a bit more of a conversation between Tua Tagovailoa and Joe Burrow. But Joe Burrow did just come off the best season we've ever seen from a college quarterback here at PFF. That dates back to when we first started grading college football in 2014. This kid is unreal, and he's blown up the interview process. The rumors here in Indianapolis is this guy can go through a whiteboard, command a room, really has a presence about him. He's checking all the boxes.
So you think he's a can't-miss prospect at number one?
Can't miss. I don't think there's a can't miss prospect.
As close to a can't miss prospect as there can be. Let me put it that way.
Possibly, but I think the Joe Burrow concerns, there are some. I mean, he's an older prospect. He's more mature. He commanded that offense like an NFL veteran, and also the Joe Brady connection. Why so much of a big jump? I do think Joe Burrow does need a good situation to thrive. I don't think any quarterback can thrive without a good situation. I think he needs those five-man protections. He needs a lot of receiving options on every play. There are certain schematic things you have to do with Joe Burrow to put him in a position to have the success he had at LSU. I think every quarterback is just that way. I mean, you saw it with Tom Brady. Good supporting cast matter. Good scheme matters. With Joe Burrow, put him in a good situation, which I think Cincinnati can do with Zach Taylor and company. I think you do have a good chance of being great with Joe Burrow.
Appreciate the time and analysis, Austin. Thank you for joining me, man.
Of course. Thank you.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show. Miss any of the show? Catch up with the Robin Lundberg podcast, available all week on the weekend page at cbssportsradio.com.
Well, before I get to every other topic, I will get to you Let's go to Chris in Calgary. Chris, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning from Canada. How are you doing this morning?
Good, man. How's Canada?
Good. It's warming up. Just want to say I listen to your show every Saturday morning. I'm getting ready for work on my way in, and I appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
In terms of sportscasters, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the longtime local voice of the Calgary Flames on the radio, Peter Marr. Just to set it up, because probably most of your fans aren't familiar. Peter Marr, he called the games for as long as the Flames have been in Calgary, since the 80s, I think. He just retired 6-7 years ago. And one of the things that stood out to me is when there was a goal, pretty much the only way you could tell who had scored was the arena, the crowd reaction and the goal horn, because he called it straight down the middle. He wasn't a homer. He got just as excited no matter which team scored. And one of the things that stood out to me was they mentioned on the radio, he said, one of the hosts was saying, I saw someone at the arena and they were listening to the Walkman while they were at the arena, and they couldn't understand, like, why aren't you paying attention to the game? And I guess they phoned into the station and said, no, I wanted to hear Peter Marr call the game while I was at the game. And just another thing, one of the other anecdotes was in 2010 when we had the Olympics in Vancouver up here in Canada, basically all the radio and TV networks had cooperated to share responsibility for hosting it. Obviously, the crown jewel of the Winter Olympics, especially for Canadians, is the men's hockey. So they could have basically had any sportscaster in the country call the men's hockey in the gold medal game. And you would think they would pick someone from a big market like Toronto or the host city of Vancouver. But no, they picked Peter Marr because that's the pedigree that he had. And one last thing I want to say is when he actually announced his retirement and he was given the press conference, his signature thing that he would do on a big game, was the only real time he kind of was a bit of a homer was, you know, an elimination game or like an overtime game in the playoffs or when a team clinched a playoff spot or something like that, he would say, yeah, baby. And when he was at the press junket, one reporter said, you know, can you give us a yeah, baby? And he said, he was just so humble. He said, no, that's for the players. It's not about me. It's never been about me. It's been about the sport. It's been about the athletes. So that's just for them.
Well, obviously, yeah, you know, he touched you, and therefore, in your mind, I think the point you're trying to make is that the broadcaster can have more of an impact than simply being window dressing for the game. Rich in New Jersey, or Mitch in New Jersey, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, how's it going, Rob? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Hey, I'm glad CBS is keeping Tony Romo. He's very interesting. I love his style. If you're a Hall of Fame quarterback, you'll be a Hall of Fame in the broadcast lane.
You know, Mitch, I apologize, man. Something's going on with your line. I know you call all the time, so we'll get to you next week. Sounds like you were, like, in an echo chamber or something. Brian in Lansing, Michigan. Brian, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Morning, Robin. Hey, I just wanted to comment on Tony Romo and the $17 million he's making a year. An awful lot of money, especially when you compare it to his broadcast partner that's only making Jim Nantz $5 million a year. You know, Costas, Joe Buck, you know, Costas is at $7 million, Joe $6 million, Al Michaels $6 million. I think it's going to rock the boat a little bit and make some of these other guys raise their eyebrows. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, he is good. I do enjoy him. And I don't tune in just to watch Tony Romo or hear Tony Romo. But there must be something skewed in the numbers that they're seeing that makes them want to pay him that kind of money.
Well, I mean, again, look at the conversation. Look at the free advertising they're getting right now for those games. You know, we spent a huge portion of the show talking about it. So that's the impact. I mean, there's other guys. I don't know. I mean, if I was a freaking play-by-play announcer making $6 million a year, I don't care what anybody else is making. That's fine. I'm good. like, that is a wild amount of money for that job. And no disrespect. Like, I don't even mean it disrespectfully because I've done it before, right? Like, I've done play-by-play before. I've been a color commentator before. I know exactly what goes into it. Now, you could argue that that was never my passion or you know, it was never my craft, so I didn't dedicate it to myself quite the same as I have my other career, my normal career. But it's very, you know, tangentially related, and I also, you know, have direct experience in it. I don't say it from not doing it. You know, I've called an NBA game on the radio. You know, I've called a college basketball Division I game you know, leading up to the tournament, the UConn championship team on television. You know, I've called games, so I know exactly what goes into it. And $6 billion for that, sign me up. So $17 million for that is a whole nother ball game, and really unprecedented. I mean, so when something is unprecedented, it generally means we're seeing something we haven't seen before that warrants it. And it seems to me that from the audience response, Tony Romo might just fall into that category. All right, time to get to everything I have not as of yet in another one.
It's time for another edition of Another One on the Robin Lundberg Show. The rumors, reports, and ridiculous from the week that was. Here's Robin Lundberg.
Anthony, what's up first, man?
We started in the NBA today, so let's begin there. And James Harden wasn't the only Rocket in the news this week, as Grizzlies guard Ja Morant says that Russell Westbrook is taking it for granted. And then Westbrook was asked about that following Wednesday night's game, and this was Westbrook's response.
I don't really care what nobody else thinks about my game. I appreciate guys like him and other guys, but as long as I'm okay and satisfied with what I do and bring to the table, I'm going to keep busting everybody's ass, and then we'll figure it out after that.
So what do you think, Robin? Is Westbrook's play taken for granted?
Yeah, I mean, he is a polarizing figure, right? That, again, something about him, I think in his case, personality factors into. There's, you know, he's acerbic. He's not, like, warm and cuddly. Some people like that. They like the fact that he comes off as a huge competitor. Others think, you know, he's a little too standoffish. The stuff with the reporters in the background, like, that stuff can rub people the wrong way. So I think his game is also polarizing because it's not refined. You know, he can get a little crazy at the end of games, take some bad shots, but his overall raw power in the game is also a sight to behold. And the one factor that must be accounted for, too, when you don't have a championship, you're always open to criticism. Not that that's necessarily fair, because I don't like working from results backwards. There are plenty of players who I think are championship-level players who never won a championship, right? But in the grand scheme of things, that tends to be the thing that protects you. I mean, in some cases, it doesn't even protect you. Look at Kyrie Irving. I mean, Kyrie Irving has a championship. He had the winner in maybe the biggest game in the history of the league, and it still hasn't fully protected him. So you need that as a bit of a buffer. Overall, though, I think what we're seeing right now is Westbrook unleashed by the Rockets. Mike D'Antoni has always been a godsend for point guards. I mean, look at Steve Nash, look at Jeremy Lin, look at Harden, or whatever position you wanted to call him, and now Westbrook with the floor wide open. So, in a sense, I get the point. Because the triple-double, when I was growing up, what Oscar Robertson did with the triple-double was like a thing of folktale, right? Like, he averaged a triple-double for an entire season? No way. Like, that can't be true. And then Westbrook did it back-to-back seasons, and we act like it was nothing. So, in that sense, I get it. The other factor is that when you're asking people in their heart of hearts if they believe, when it comes down to it, is he on the same level as LeBron James or Kobe Bryant or you know, the truly greats of the game? And he's not quite there. So, that he's plugged into that weird space where he's an all-time great player, but not right with the very best who ever played, and that's sometimes a tough space to occupy.
Another one.
Jason Tatum seems to be getting better each game. How about these numbers for Tatum in February? 30.5 points per game he's averaging. He's shooting 51.4% from the field, shooting 50% from downtown. Are you ready to give Tatum the superstar label?
He's right there. He's knocking on that door. You know, we'll see. We need a playoff run from him, I think. But he has emerged as a superstar for that team. He's the best player on the Boston Celtics, let's put it that way. And I would have the Celtics as a wild card in the title mix. I think the Lakers have a chance. I think the Clippers have a chance, obviously. The Bucks. I mentioned it before, that I think the Rockets have a chance. If I'm putting a fifth team, the fifth team I think I would go is Boston. They're versatile. They've got a bunch of wings who can play. And when people saw them build around Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, We wondered if they squandered all the building they had done up until that point. But Tatum has really taken the leap this season. And he's at least a superstar as a scorer. I think he has to get a little bit better as a playmaker for others. When you're in the playoffs, I think that the game plan is going to be get the ball out of his hands. But he's a superstar as a scorer right now, and he's still a very young player. So I think he's progressing very nicely. And if I'm, you know, considering Boston in the mix as a sleeper contender, and I'm saying Tatum is the best player on that team, that has to put him right on the at least the superstar bubble.
Another one.
Los Angeles FC owner sees the MLS passing baseball and hockey in popularity in the United States within the next 10 years. You believe the fan base will continue to grow, and will MLS eventually pass baseball and hockey in popularity here?
Well, you notice you said baseball and hockey, right, and not the NHL and MLB. I think soccer is already probably past hockey. I think soccer is probably more popular than hockey, all things considered. But the MLS is not more popular than the NHL. That's a distinction I'm drawing there. You see what I'm saying? Where people watch Premier League, people watch La Liga, people watch MLS, people watch the Olympics, the World Cup, people play it. So when you're combining all those things, I think soccer is more popular than hockey. But more people watch the NHL than the MLS. So I do think that is poachable for them. The question is, how good is the MLS? The MLS needs to be a league that's on par with that. Because when you say the NHL, you're talking about the best hockey league in the world. When you say Major League Baseball, you're talking about the best baseball league in the world. When you say MLS, you are not talking about the best soccer league in the world. So I think for that to happen, the MLS is going to have to get close to being the best soccer league in the world. If that happens, yeah, I think certainly it'll pass the NHL. And I have to see the trends with baseball, but there are the things that would make you indicate that baseball's popularity is certainly not going up. Let's put it that way.
Another one.
Deontay Wilder this week, he blamed his 40-pound costume for his loss to Tyson Fury last weekend. The boxer told several media outlets that the heavy outfit weakened his legs. You on board with Wilder's explanation?
I'm throwing in the towel on that. That's the worst thing I've ever heard. It's embarrassing. It's legitimately embarrassing. Look, I almost always pick the better boxer over the bigger puncher. In this case, I took Wilder because it's the heavyweight division and his right hand had been so powerful. And he got destroyed. He just got totally destroyed. And his entire aura was destroyed as well. Not only because in the fight, like, his corner might have saved his life. No joke. He was in real trouble. He was in real danger. He was hurt in that fight. But afterwards, to say something ridiculous like that, it almost ruins everything he's done before. What a garbage thing for Deontay Wilder to say.
Another one.
And finally, for the first time in the franchise's 39-year history, Steven Spielberg handing over the directing reins for Indiana Jones 5. Yes, there will be an Indiana Jones 5. He will remain on as a producer for the film. What is your favorite Spielberg film?
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to ask me about Indiana Jones. Probably Jaws. I think it's probably Jaws. What are the other? There was one other one that was fairly recent that I liked a lot. Did he do Catch Me If You Can?
Yes, he did.
Oh, it might be that then. I love that movie. That movie's great. Those are probably my two favorites: Catch Me If You Can and Jaws. That last Indiana Jones was trash, though. Whatever that one was with the aliens and Shia LaBeouf. That was
not good.
That was bad. You know, like it's so bad, like it's almost hard to believe because you know Steven Spielberg has made all these other great movies where it's like, how could he make a movie that bad? Like when he's made all these other great movies. So if that was what he has left for Indiana Jones, it's probably a good thing he's getting off it. But when you're talking about the best Steven Spielberg movies, to me, yeah, I'd go Catch Me If You Can and Jaws. You can catch me if you can. Same time, same place next week here on CBS Sports Radio. It's been the Robin Lundberg Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.